T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Well, you know, it's an emotional game, and stuff happens out there. So, I just think, you know, the most important thing is we learn from the experiences and we move on, and that's where we're at right now. You know, we put it behind us. We're looking forward.
That's Mike Sullivan on Evgeny Malkin's one-game suspension. He'll return to the ice tomorrow afternoon against the Calgary Flames on AT&T Sportsnet. We're joined by Penguins analyst Bob Airy. It's time for Bob's Breakdown, brought to you by the Pittsburgh Bottle Shop Cafe. Schedule set up nicely for the Penguins. Maddie, you can pot them up now. Set up very nicely for the Penguins. They played Wednesday. They had Valentine's Day off. No travel involved. So Bob had a day to himself yesterday. Bob, you go big for Valentine's Day, my man? What you do? Little roses, some chocolate-covered strawberries, maybe?
Tulips. I'm the tulips guy. You know, they go over big in the house. So just some white tulips, some red tulips, a little dinner, and a little bit of vino.
Oh, now that you've brought
this
it
ain't
home
the
right
best
there.
For last,
yeah, I was going to say, you got the vino really brings everything and ties it together. By the way, I would imagine there was no, like, be mine hearts exchange between Michael Roffel and Evgeny Malkin. Like, no grade school Valentines there after one guy tries to decapitate the other guy after the other guy tries to punch him right in the base of the skull. What did you think of the entire situation there, and specifically the suspension for Malkin and nothing for Roffel?
Yeah, I didn't expect anything for Roffel. I mean, you see punches in the head all the time, you know, that kind of situation. I think just the severity of the, Gino not really being in control of the stick, although some might say that he was in control of the stick. If he wasn't in control of the stick, he would have hit the guy in the head. I think it was pretty calculated what Gino did. It wouldn't have been my calculation. You know, I had Dennis Savard shoot a puck at me after the whistle. I didn't take, I didn't like it that much. Took exception, and I two-handed him across the back of the legs, you know, so. I wasn't going to decapitate him. I was going to maim him a little bit. I did get suspended for the play, and I thought Gino should have got suspended for his actions as well. And I thought it was an appropriate I really actually believe it was an appropriate response from the NHL.
Bob, should the NHL discipline intent or end result? Should the severity of the injury factor into how long a player is punished for, in your opinion?
That's a great roundhouse conversation we have all the time. I mean, the problem is you could have a guy like Malkin do it in the first round of the playoffs to a guy like Raffel, and Raffel could not even be injured, but he could fake an injury throughout the playoffs and say that he was done for the season. The Flyers could say that, or, you know, the Flyers could say such, and, you know, Gino would be suspended for 6-7 games because the other player is done for the season, so they say. It's a touchy situation. I think it's the action. I think it's the action. I think it's hard to know. The injury does play into it, but you got to be very careful. You got to weigh all these things. I don't think it's never black and white, guys. It's a discussion that I've had umpteen times, well over 100 times with people. And, you know, I think certainly if Raffel had swung his stick like that at Malkin and hit him, maybe clipped him in the ear like that, I can tell you right now that Raffel would have been suspended more than one game. And sometimes, in my opinion, stars get the break, and that's just the way it is. That's my opinion. We each have different opinions. I'm sure they're going to vary accordingly, but it's a very tough decision and tough conversation.
Bob, when I think of Malkin in that play, part of me wonders if the guy has more than 3 even-strength goals since November 1st, if he's playing better flat out and we aren't having discussions about him needing to get kick-started, maybe he responds, but maybe he doesn't respond in as calculated, dangerous a way. Do you think that the struggles he's been going through sort of boiled over in that one moment and made it worse than his response otherwise would have been?
Well, I think so. You know, I think he's trying to fire himself up. You know, we see this from Geno throughout his career. We saw it in the Stanley Cup Finals against Detroit when the Penguins went on to, and Geno went on to win his first Stanley Cup in a Conn Smythe when he got into a fight with Zetterberg. You know, he does these kind of things to try to jumpstart himself, and that's quite possibly, you know, he is frustrated. He said as much. He doesn't have confidence in his game. He's looking for a way to get going and be a dominant player. Yeah, I agree. If he had been in a different situation, I don't know if either of the situations may have happened, but you know, he's an easy guy to pick on right now. And the funny thing is, the whole season for both Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, quite frankly, could have been turned around on that one play. I mean, you can score as many goals as you can on a five-minute power play. I mean, that's, you know, it's gone now, and it's not going to happen. But the Penguins could have lost that game. The Flyers could have won it. I thought it was the season, to be honest with you, for the Flyers. I don't know if they can really get back into it now after going 8 down after that game. And for the Penguins, it started them on a little bit of a stepping stone here, and that's a big win. And that could have turned the season around for both clubs, though, guys.
Bob Arey brought to you by Armstrong Business Solutions, talking to us about the Penguins. They'll get Malkin back tomorrow against the Flames, who are in position to make the playoffs this year. Okay, how about Schultz coming back, activated from the injured reserve, Bob? What kind of jolt do you think he'll give them?
Well, it's going to help their power play. You know, with the Penguins trying to employ two defense on the power play, sometimes it really makes it tough. You know, Pedersen, give him full marks, but he's not a power play guy. And, you know, they're putting him out there to try to insulate the power play a little bit, but you're taking away from the power play. You know, Justin Schultz can get out there, can help the power play both ways. He can insulate them defensively, can help them offensively, regardless of what unit he's on. He's a big bonus there. They're going to limit his minutes here for a while. I mean, he's missed 53 games. This is that was a tough injury. It was tough to watch. It's tough to come back from, but he's done all he could to get back here, and I'm sure he's tested that thing more, you know, several times in the gym, moving laterally and doing all he can. Probably he's done a lot more off the ice with it than you can do on the ice when the ankle's in a boot like it is when you're playing the game of hockey. So, you know, he's ready to go. You're going to limit him a little bit here, but yeah, the power play to me is the huge thing when you get a guy that's automatic. Plus, you bring a right-hand defenseman into the fray here. You know, nothing against the Penguins are trying to employ some left-handers on the right side, but there's nothing like having a true right-handed defenseman on the right side to get pucks off the glass when you're trying to defend the lead, or to get pucks to the net when you're one goal down. Listen, the Penguins do need more production from their blue line. They're winning games here with really heroic efforts from the goaltending, scoring shorthanded goals, but these are all ways that you do win games. You win playoff games and you win cups, but you need more offense from the blue line, and Schultz can provide that.
Is there any way, Bibbs, for them to get more in general offense? I'd say offense, but I'll take anything from Jack Johnson on the blue line. Can they do anything to put him in more favorable situations, anything like that?
No, it's just the way it is right now. You know, the Penguins are, they're still struggling a little bit to find their game, guys, and they're just defending here. You know, they're trying to win these 2-1 games. So this is playoff battle hockey right now. You see it. I mean, it's like winning against Nashville 1-0 from Hornquist when you're banging one in. They're trying to get a one goal lead, and they're trying to defend until the cows come home. And Jack Johnson, he's a defender. He, pure and simply, has turned into, at his age, they want him to defend. They didn't want Oleksiak moving up the ice, guys. You know, that became an issue. We saw when Letang even jumped up the ice again the other night. The opposition scored a goal. They want Jack Johnson to defend. Obviously, if you're behind in games, you want your offense to try to jump up when they get the opportunity. That's why I like Schultz coming back in. But don't ask Jack Johnson to do it. It's just not part of his repertoire right now.
We're talking to Bob Arey, Penguins and Flames tomorrow, and then NBC will have the Penguins and Rangers on Sunday. It doesn't look like Pearson's going to play tomorrow. He skated with the extra guys today, Bob. What do you make of taking him out of the lineup for Malkin and leaving guys like Bluger and Wilson in?
Well, it's, you know, like Mike Sullivan says, it's you're rewarded with your play. You know, that's the type of business we're in right now. I actually like the move.
I like it a lot. It sends a message. And it's you're rewarded with your play. I mean, it's plain and simple. Wilson's getting the job done. He's not a liability at all. He's just a – they love him. He can provide an element of toughness that isn't going to be. He's his line's always in the offensive zone. They're all cut from the same cloth, that fourth line, meaning they know where the puck's going. They know what their job is. There's no looking around, and you know, they're just gone. One guy's in the corner, he's jumping it this way, it's going that way. I love playing with guys like that. It's so simple when I was playing with on some third and fourth lines at the end of my career. So I think it's fantastic. It keeps everybody kind of honest here. And, you know, he had to be kick-started in L.A. He had to be traded. And, you know, he's been cold here. He scored a late goal on the road trip down south. In a hockey game, but other than that, in the last dozen games, Tanner Pearson, this guy's got a laser of a shot, but he can't be invisible. You need more out of him, and maybe a little bit of a kick on the backside is going to help him.
How much of a pleasant surprise is McCann so far for you, Bibbs?
He is a pleasant surprise. Well, what it is to me is I just sense his excitement, just his desire to want to be here. To want to play for the Penguins, to play behind Crosby and Malkin, to be accepting of that role, to only be 22 still. And he's moved around a couple teams here after being drafted by Vancouver. You know, I mean, he's young, but he's not that young that he doesn't know that, you know, you don't want to keep moving. You don't want to end up on another team and another team. I just sense that he is absorbing everything. He wants to be better. He understands his role here, whereas maybe he wasn't defined in a certain role in other hockey teams. He exactly knows what it is expected of him, and he's bringing it. And he's got a smile on his face each and every day. He's excited to talk to me, to you, to his teammates. And his pure joy is just a treat. He must be enjoying coming to the rink, and it's showing in his play, guys.
I feel like you were not trying to be subtle there in lauding him for embracing a role compared to maybe a guy who didn't embrace a third-line center role on this team before he was traded. I feel like maybe I was, you know, reading into things correctly there.
Yeah,
is that about right?
You're good. Yeah, you're good at reading those tea leaves, and that's exactly right. But I don't think I'm putting any sugar on this. I think it's right there. It is true,
yeah.
And we can all see it.
Hey, Bob, as a player, did you like the early games, 12:30 face-off, get to the rink early, maybe have a cup of coffee there, some scrambled eggs? Do you like the early games as a player?
You know what? That is a question that, as a player, I would always wanted to be asked after the game because it really matters. It's a terrible night if you lose, and it's a great night if you win, and even better if maybe you scored a goal or two. I actually did love playing these games because you could have a nice 1 o'clock game and have a nice dinner after, watch some of the late games maybe if you wanted when you came home, and just enjoy the full day and not have to think about going to the rink in the morning and doing all that stuff. You know, especially later in the career, I just, you know, guys want to play games, and, you know, these morning skates and everything else, that's, you know, it's not really what they're paid to do. They want to go play the games, but listen, it's not a good night if you have a bad game and you're say a minus two or three and you maybe had the penalty that caused your team the victory. But if you were maybe a hero and your team won the hockey game, you made for a real good day.
How many cups of coffee are you getting in before a noon or a 12:30 start? Like, you getting five or six good cups of coffee in, or what?
Yeah, and that didn't happen until a little bit later on in my career. Now I love the coffee, but that 1 o'clock game, yeah, you got to get going. And the problem is you don't know what to eat, because back in the day you'd have your chicken, your spaghetti, maybe a little bit of bread. This one here, you got to incorporate maybe a little bit of, what do? You got to incorporate some French toast. Maybe you're getting a slab of bacon, some eggs. It's really tough, but yeah, coffee, probably three cups for me. Hornquist, he's probably double that.
He goes three pots.
Oh, he's incredible.
He's a maniac.
I think he has shares in Starbucks.
Oh, wow.
All right, Bob, we'll end on that note. Yeah, we will. From wine to coffee, we touched on everything. All right, Bob, we'll talk to you next Friday. Thank you.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. See ya.
Yep, we'll see it. Bob Airy brought to you by Pittsburgh's Bottle Shop Cafe, which is a great hangout after games, and especially with the early games, and Armstrong Business Solutions. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Jerry Dulac asked the question in today's Post-Gazette, is a transition tag the Steelers' best option with Le'Veon Bell? We'll attempt to answer that question next on the PM Team.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.